Mary Kylo. It is a real privilege for us to have Shai Cohen with us tonight for part two of the Emunah series. Again, it's a tremendous honor that he's joining us, taking time out. He has a lot of lectures. You can feel free to find some of his other lectures on Torah anytime, as well as other sources. It is our bracha to Shai Cohen that he continues in good health to motivate and inspire many people throughout the world. Rabbi Shai Cohen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We touched on a number of basics of Bitochin, actually Emunah and Bitochin, last time. And I would like to continue, expand, and hopefully bring it a little bit to the practical level, how we can develop, knowing what it is. This is a sense of focus and realization of the, of the extent of Hashem's kindness and mercy, and internalizing that to the extent that we feel, number one, this sense of hope. We never lose hope because we know Hashem can do anything and cares about us and is full of chesed and rachamim. And then we even go beyond that and we reach a level where something from within just announces to us, based on all of the extensive knowledge and insight that we have into Hashem's kindness and everything He has done from the beginning of creation to the very moment in which we live, for the world, for every individual, and for ourselves, we begin to feel that He's not going to let me down in this situation. And that, Chazal tell us, is a schus that Hashem does not allow the true Baal Bitochen to be disappointed. That's the tefillah that David HaMelech offered in Kapitel Chafei, Elokai Becho Botachti Alei Voisho. I put my trust in you, don't let me be embarrassed. And that trust seems to have that power to bring about, number one, a great peace of mind because I rely on Hashem, and number two, the achievement of results, that my heart's desires can be fulfilled in the merit of the fact that I am putting my trust totally and completely in Hashem. That's really a beautiful concept, even on a human level. The more that a person needs us, and the more that a person puts their trust in us, the more compelled we feel to respond to that trust, because they're counting on me. They have no one else to turn to, and they're relying on me, and they refuse to give up hope. And they're even quite certain that I'm going to respond. How can I let them down? That's on a human level. And this is really a basic concept, maybe a beginning concept of how the Bitochen works with Hashem. But I would like to point out something else. The Novi Chavakuk, in the efforts that many Nevi'im made to capsulize the essence of the Torah in one concept, or in three concepts, or in 13 concepts, Chavakuk came and said, Bo Chavakuk vehemit na'lachas. He said there's one basic concept which capsulizes the entirety of the Torah. Ve'tzadik be'emunosoi yichyeh. The righteous person will live in his emunah. Emunah, roughly translated, and I would say the way we translate it a little bit better, is not just the belief, which is a choice that I have, but the confidence and the knowledge that I have of Hashem, of His all-powerful being, of His involvement with every aspect of our existence, of His kindness and mercy, and all of the aspects of the existence and the midos of Hashem are all part of this emunah. I know upon whom, I know with whom I am dealing. The essence is emunah. And in times like this, when we're surrounded by all types of tzoras, the concept of emunah is very critical, because we have to know that it's not dependent upon anything, and whatever goes on out there is irrelevant, and all of the hishtadlus, the efforts that we put in, are just part of the mitzvah of doing our best to live life according to the natural causes, whether it's for health and Shmor Nafshei Seichem, or whether it's in Parnosa that we are Mishtatl, or whether it's whatever Tzorah to protect ourselves, Shmartim Lo Nafshei Seichem, sorry, I misquoted it. Whatever it is, this is our Hishtadlus. But ultimately, it's all from Hashem. The Baal Bitochen has to take it a step further. He has to internalize it to the extent that he feels, I just know it. It's not only here. It's in my heart. I just know Hashem's not going to let me down. I just know I have no reason to give up hope, because Hashem can make anything happen in the moment, in a split second, and I know how much he cares, and I know how much he loves, and I know how dedicated he is, and therefore I just feel this sense of confidence. The Vilna Goin tells us that v'tzadik be'munosu yichya, it's a Vilna Goin in Mishlei, Perek Lamed Posukei, and I think it's in another place as well, that tzadik be'munosu yichya refers to the midah of bitochen. He's not talking about the essence of the Torah being emuna, but rather the essence of the Torah, the emuna that he's talking about, is bitochen, is trust in Hashem. And the truth of the matter is that there's not a contradiction in the words, because that's what bitochen is. Bitochen is the internalization and the actualization and maybe the emotionalization, if there is such a word, of the intellectual knowledge of who Hashem is and how he conducts his world and how merciful and kind he is and how all-powerful he is and how involved he is in every aspect of our existence. And I've internalized that to my emotions, that therefore I'm relying on him. He's the one. He can do anything. He wants to do anything. He loves. He loves me beyond what anyone can imagine. And therefore, I'm counting on him. Therefore, I'm not giving hope, and I'm even more sure than that, I'm counting on him to help. And that, of course, gives me this peace of mind, because I'm relying on him, and it also entitles me to achieve things which otherwise I might not have been able to achieve. And I think we've mentioned that the Chazal goes so far as to say that it doesn't matter whether a person is righteous or not. If he has bitochen, afilu rosho ubeiteach b'Hashem chesed yisovevenu, even a wicked person puts his trust in Hashem. Trust is something that Hashem just does not disappoint, does not embarrass, does not ignore. You're trusting in me. You may not be worthy, okay, but you know, I deal with the unworthy too. And when I deal with the unworthy, if they're putting their trust in me, then I respond accordingly. And this really then, the concept of bitochen is really an emotionalization and an internalization of the emuna, which is intellectual, into the feeling, that trust that I just rely on Hashem. Now, in order to have that feeling, one must have a very strong sense of knowledge of Hashem and who he is. And the Torah teaches us who Hashem is. The Torah that was revealed to us publicly after Hashem had done public miracles for us in Mitzrayim, and then at Har Sinai publicly spoke to the entire Klal Yisrael, publicly appointed Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader, and he has given us this Torah, which tells us all about him. It's sort of his autobiography. It's his manifesto. It's who he is and how he conducts his world. And this is where we get all of our information from. And then the bitochen says we want to internalize that, to put ourselves at ease, to assure that we never give up on any of life's difficulties, and we eventually develop this level of confidence that Hashem will not let us down. So this is what the Avodas HaBitochen is all about. One of the ways that we can really establish a deeper sense of bitochen is paying attention to Hashem's hashkocha protis, Hashem's intimate involvement in every aspect of our existence. He takes care of every detail. He is involved in every situation. His love for us is intense. His chesed is endless. His rachamim, his mercy, is endless. And therefore, He's involved in every aspect, taking care of every minute detail of our lives, from the global issues of creation and all of the details and the infinite details involved, to the individual situation of every person who walks the face of this earth. That special Hashgacha Pratis, even a special Shmira that he has on the Klal Yisrael, and all of this is part of what we have to recognize as Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis. How do we get there? Well, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Shivise Hashem lenegdi somid, ki mimini bal emoit. I have placed Hashem in front of my eyes always, because from my right he does not let me falter. And Rashi explains what that means. Rashi says as follows, Bichol ma'asai samti moiroi neged einai. In everything I do, I have this picture, this reverence, this awe of Hashem in front of my eyes. Why? Vilomo ki mimini bal emoit. Because from my right, he never ceases to be there. Hu tomid mimini, excuse me, hu tomid la'ozreini lebal emoit. He's always there, right by my side, always to help me that I should not falter. This, it seems, is the basis for our connection to Hashem. How do I have Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid? I'm always thinking about Hashem. Whatever happens, I'm relying on Hashem. Whatever happens, I'm praying to Hashem. Whatever happens, I'm confident in Hashem. I'm always thinking Hashem, 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 everything. Our great grandmothers, when they used to make the cholent, they gave a tefillah to Hashem. And when they made the challah, they gave a tefillah. When they made the pcha, they gave a tefillah. This is how we lived, all the doiris. And Hashem is always in front of my eyes. Why? Ki mimini bal emoit. Because he's always there to help me that I should not falter. Here's Hashgacha Pratis. Here's, I forgot the name of the woman. It was a Holocaust survivor. She used to lecture for many, many years. And when people would ask her, where was Hashem during the Holocaust? And she would say, he was right here by my side. And he miraculously, endlessly, with endless miracles, constantly saved me from one dangerous situation to another. That's how I survived. So the sense of Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem is with me all the time, gives us that ability to focus and to think about Him and to be connected to Him and to have this awe and this reverence to Him. And He places front and center in our existence because of everything He does for us. I would like to share with you a couple of personal anecdotes, stories, things that happened, just to give you a little sense from a personal perspective what this Hashgacha Pratis is all about. And today there are endless books written about it, people write articles about it. It's so common, it's people are beginning to wake up to see, and really Hashgacha Pratis, recognition of Hashgacha Pratis, really requires open eyes. See it, look for it, it's there. It's there for everyone. It's just a question of, do we allow ourselves to see it and to recognize it? And we lived for many years in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley, and we established the yeshiva there, and things were not so easy at the time. And one of the foundations of my children's sense of connection to Hashem was, I want to make a long story short, it was 10:30 at night. My daughter was going, she was a young kid, she was going to camp, day camp, and she was going on a trip. She needed 75 cents, and her poor father didn't have 75 cents at the time. Okay, what should I do? Say Tehillim, pray to Hashem, Hashem will help. The kid says, she says Tehillim together with her younger sister. Nothing happens, of course. She goes without the money. She comes home, she says, funny thing happened. A friend of hers, who 4 months ago on the Purim carnival, so that must have been at least 4 months ago, this was the summer, borrowed 75 cents from her. And she woke up that morning and remembered she had to return it to her. That's all. Coincidence? Very unlikely. Months later, they never spoke about it. And just the night that she prayed, she said Tehillim together with her sister, relying on Hashem that he should send it because her poor father couldn't give it to her. And boom, this girl wakes up in the morning. She says, I forgot for a few months already. They never spoke about it. We see Hashem's Hashkocha. If, you know, and sometimes in the little things, it's even more convincing. The big things become overwhelming. The big things are like, Uyve, it's too much to handle. I don't know how to deal with that. But the small little things. I had recently, you know, I was having one Friday afternoon. I wanted to call somebody. It was very important that I call this individual. And I was having, I want to have sometimes a senior moment. I couldn't remember who it is that I had to call. And it really bothered me, and it was really important, and I hadn't written it down, and I didn't know what to do. Fine. I get a phone call, just as I'm agonizing about, who is it, who could it be? I just can't possibly remember. I get a phone call, somebody's asking me a question about whether he can invite his mother-in-law from out of town to stay with them with the corona, what's the story? And as I said, you have to ask a doctor. I can't tell you what the story is. Speak to your doctor. He said, doctors, they don't know anything. They're all disagreeing. I said, do you have a doctor? He says, yeah. I said, who's your doctor? And he tells me who. That's the doctor that I had to call. Nothing. No big deal. Not earth-shattering. But look, the moment that I'm struggling with this issue, Hashem sends someone to call me. And I can ask him who's his doctor, like it's my business who his doctor is, but he said doctors don't know anything. Who's his doctor? And this is the way, if we look for it, we'll see it in the smallest little things. But I want to tell you something, that it happens in big things as well. I want to share with you another story. When we were living in the San Fernando Valley, a number of our graduates were sent home. Were graduated and went off to yeshivas, and they came home for the summer, and discussing the possibility of their staying on for the year, which would have been a tremendous chizuk for the high school and for the yeshiva, the beis medrash, had a small beis medrash, would have been an amazing thing. But they had a condition that besides saying a shir every day, which I used to do for whoever was there, they wanted that I should spend the first Seder 4 hours a day in the Beis Medrash. And I was afraid to commit to that and owe hundreds of thousands of dollars from previous years and have to raise another few a few hundred thousand dollars and 4 hours a day prime time I had to teach in high school. I don't know, how could I? So give me 24 hours. I want to think about it. I'll give you an answer. I go home, I ask my wife, and she says it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, some Kabbalah olive oil Torah. If you accept the old Torah, then Malchus, payroll taxes, that was what I understood that, Derech Eretz making money is going to be miraculously removed. I told them the next morning at Rosh Chodesh El Amin Beis Medrash, that night I met an individual, to make a long story short, who introduced us to someone who within a few weeks left us $1 million. If you makabel the old Torah, if you believe it, that's it. It's a Mishnah. That means I'm trusting Hashem. I'm trusting the Torah. I'm trusting Chazal. But Hashem takes care of you. And like $1 million those days, paid off all that debt, covered our budget for the year. Wow. Anyway, these things happen. I'm going to share with you a little different twist on this, which also happened. And I think that it points out another issue. One day, a gentleman walks into my office, and he says, "I need your help." He says, "My father has a relative who passed away, and she had some money. She left it technically to her six cats, C-A-T-S, which is I don't know how that stands up in court, but they were trying to get as the next of kin to get some of this money." But it wasn't so simple. The lawyer was making trouble, the judge, or whatever. It wasn't working. I said, maybe you'll come with me to speak to the lawyer. So I go to speak to the lawyer. And I said, I agree. I said, but on the way, I said, just tell me how much you're expecting. He says, we're trying to get $100,000. I said, okay, I'll be happy. within 2 hours before we went to the lawyer the next day or something, I get a call about it from a friend of mine. He says, I'm sending a donation to the yeshiva for $100,000. Fine. Having a good day. On the way to the lawyer the next day, all of a sudden it hits me. I said, you know something? That's very funny. That's what Chazal tell us. Ha-mispal ba'ad chaveroi, v'hu tzorech lo yisui dovor, hu nene tchila. One who prays davens for his friend, and he's in need of the same thing, he's going to be answered first. Now, I agreed, I agreed to help him to get this $100,000. I certainly was in need of that for us, and we got it first. Came in immediately, 2 hours later. Anyway, the problem happened that, problem was that for the next 2.5 years, the guy didn't get the money. Nothing happened. Fighting with this and back and forth. And I kept telling him, Chazal say, hu nenet chilo, the one who goes to help his friend, and he needs the same thing, he will be answered first. First has to be the first of a series. If you're the only one that I was, then it's not first. So I'm sure that you're going to get also. 3 years later, he comes running into my office and he says, the judge just signed off on the deal. So I said, how much? $250,000. Wow, I said, that's very impressive. He says, but according to my calculation, I have to get another 150 before you collect that 250. Because it says, who nene, the one who goes to help someone else, will be answered first. That means I have to be first, and then you're going to be second. Looked to be a little bit askance, but, you know. Okay, a couple days went by, I didn't get the money immediately, and I get a call from actually the same individual. He says, remember, the yeshiva owes me, he says, $155,000. So he says, I'm forgiving it. I want to forgive the loan. I made some money. I want to forgive the loan. So that's beautiful. He didn't collect his 250 yet. I already now got 255. I go back to him and I say, there's another $5,000 out there that's coming from this Yerusha. And he looks me in the eyes. He was much younger than I was and says, you're crazy. Just like that. And I happen to have agreed with him, but not for this particular same reason. Anyway, the next day he comes running in. He says, when the judge signed off on the 250, he signed off from that same Yerusha on another $5,000 for some queue of operation for something else, coming from the same Yerusha, the same effort that we had put in to get this money. So, I guess I wasn't that crazy after all. Anyway, I said, let me see the check. I figured that I got to have a copy of such a check. It would be beautiful if I pull out the check. No, I lost it over the years and show you the check for the story. Anyway, so he brings out the check and it says $250 and $2,600. I said, what's this $2,600? The numbers are not perfect anymore. Because there was another five out there. I got 255, he got 250, the other five, another 26. I mean, it's close enough when you're dealing with big numbers, but I wasn't happy. He says, well, the judge tacked on some penalty or some interest or something because they were not cooperating. And I said, okay, but I wasn't happy. Numbers were not perfect. Next week, I get a statement from my friend who had forgiven this loan from his controller. The controller sent me the paperwork, and it said that we made a mistake. The yeshiva didn't owe him $155. We owed him $157,500. That means that we got the full amount. We were off by $100. I was immediately forgave $100 of my back pay, and we got the $257,600 before they did. And to me, this was very telling, that if we trust Hashem, And I was inspired to trust Hashem that it's going to happen, because Chazal say, if you go to help someone else, Mispalel, I didn't see the difference between praying for him and going to help him, and you need the same thing, you will be answered first. That's what happened. We can go on and on, but in reality, that's not really the point. The point really is something else. The point is that each one of us has to look to see Hashem's Hashgacha purpose in the world. The more that we see it, the more that we can rely on it. The less we're afraid, I'm not worthy. As we may have mentioned last time, the Vilna Gaon explains that we say in Nishmas, Adheinu Azarunu Rachamecho, Lo Yazvunu Chasudecho, Al Titcheinu Hashem Elokeinu Lanetzach. He says it means like this: until now, what you until now what you helped us was only because of your rachamim and your chesed, and not because we earned it or deserved it. But Lo Yazavunu, you haven't forsaken us, was only because of your mercy. Therefore, we can be sure that you won't forsake us in the future. Because if what you've done for us until now is because we deserved it, then maybe today we don't deserve it anymore. But once we recognize the extent of Hashem's chesed to this world, albeit undeserved, we don't deserve, and still He does such chesed, once we realize that, then why should that change? Hashem doesn't change. The question is whether I change or not. In fact, we pointed out last time, I believe, and it's worthy to reiterate, that when we say that a person has emunah, but doesn't necessarily have bitochen, the major reason that he's not trusting, even though he believes, is maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe I'm not worthy. But once I know that Hashem, when it comes to bitochen, Hashem's not judging our worthiness. He gives us when we have bitochen. So we don't have to be worthy. Afilu rosho ubutech b'Hashem chesed yisevevenu. We don't have to be worthy to be the beneficiaries of bitochen, to be the beneficiaries of Hashem's chesed to the Baal Bitochen. And therefore, we can strengthen that Bitochen without being worried about the Shema Gor Machet, because we see the track record. How many times in the past I was worthy? I think I was worthy of $1 million? I don't think so. I think I was worthy of getting this money before he got it in the whole thing. Oh, that's because we rely on Hashem. When we rely on Hashem, we become worthy. That's the worthiness that entitles us to a response. And that makes it so much easier to be able to rely on Hashem, because I see that it isn't about worthiness. Now, I'd like to take you to another world, another concept. Actually, a world of mysticism, but I would like to try to explain it in the only way I understand it, which is completely non-mystical. The Mishneh Berurah in Hilchos Kiddusha, the first chelik, brings a Sefer Hecholos. Must be some esoteric, Kabbalistic Sefer. And he says, Hashem says to the Malochim, or to the Yordei Merkova, not sure who they are exactly, but Hashem speaks to his heavenly hosts and says, go down and tell my people, tell the Klal Yisrael, that she'ein li hano b'olam, I don't have any pleasure in this world like the moment that what? That they're saying kedusha in the shul with a minyan, and they lift up their feet and they lift up their eyes to the shomayim, to the heavens, and they say the words kodesh, 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 sanctified, sanctified, sanctified. Hashem tzvokos is Hashem. The whole world is full of His glory. At that moment, I am so full of love and so full of pleasure. I have no pleasure in the world like that moment. Hashem speaks. That I take hold of the Kisei HaKovod, my throne, which is in Bidmus Yaakov Avinu, which is in the image of Yaakov Avinu. I don't know exactly how that works, but that's what it says. And I hug it. And I kiss it, and I express that love that I have for Klal Yisrael, and I do what I can to speed up their redemption. What is going on over here? How HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have no hanoah in the world like the moment when they lift up their eyes heavenward and they lift up their feet and try to connect with my eyes into their eyes and say, Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. What does Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh mean? Now, on the Kabbalistic, on the mystical level, I don't know. In the Asik bin stories, I don't know anything about that. But on a very simple level, there's a posuk in Yeshaya. The posuk says, we say it on Rosh Hashanah, Vayigba Hashem Tzvokos Bamishpot. Hashem Tzvokos, the Lord of armies, of hosts, is elevated in Mishpot. Mishpot means judgment, justice. He meets out justice to the world. We get what we deserve. Vohakel HaKodosh, but the God who is holy, Kodosh, is Niktash. What is he sanctified with? Tztoka. Vohakel HaKodosh Niktash B'Tztoka. So when we say that Hashem is Kodosh, we mean in the Midah of Tztoka. When we say Kodosh, 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 which is the ultimate emphasis of, literally it means separated, above and beyond. And what is he so above and beyond us? In the Midah of Tztoka. Tztoka. What is the Midah of Tztoka? The Vilna Goyin says that the Midah of Tztoka is giving a person beyond what he deserves. We say in the Tachnon V'Hurachon, we say, Ein bono masim, Tztoka asei imono. We say in the Ovino Malkeinu, Choneinu vaneinu kein bono masim, asei imono Tztoka v'chesed. Tztoka means, just like when we give tztoka, when this person didn't earn it, we have to give tztoka. We chose to give it to this person, to this needy person. He didn't earn it, but we gave it anyway. Giving beyond what you earn, giving more than you have earned. Now, that is what Hashem is, the ultimate Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. He's above and beyond anything we can comprehend in giving beyond what we deserve. And Hashem Tzvokos, that means even though he sits in Mishpot, but he tempers his Mishpot, his justice, his judgments, with this Midah of Tztoka, just giving us more and more and more beyond anything we deserve. And there, the Meloi Chol Ha'aretz Kevoido, the whole earth, the whole world, is full of his glory. The Avud Ram says that refers to Hashem's Hashkocha Pratis. So what is the picture of Hashem? That when we see and we attempt to connect with Hashem with that picture, Hashem looks at us with a love that he says, Ein li hanoah b'olam. I have no pleasure in this world like that moment. When Klal Yisrael realizes that I am infinitely above in the midah of giving them beyond what they have earned. And that's what generates my Hashgocha Protis. Because so much of the Hashgocha Protis is beyond what we have earned. Just like the Goyin says, Ad heino azorunu rachamecha. Not, you didn't help us because we deserved it, only because of rachamim. In fact, lo azorunu chasodecha. You didn't forsake us, it was only chesed, not because we earned it. And therefore we're confident that you will continue to do so. The truth of the matter is, it's so difficult to earn the chesed that Hashem gives us. When Hashem does chesed, it's not only what he gives us, it's his connection with us. It's that relationship that we forge. It's that uplifting spirit, that uplifting feeling, that sense of tranquility and of love and of connection with the Creator. There's nothing that's more satisfying, there's nothing that's more fulfilling, there's nothing that's more exciting. And when Hashem gives that to us, he sees us, he gives us to us, we can't earn it. And when we realize that he gives it to us, when we don't earn it, when we don't deserve it, and that's what his Hashgocha Protis is about, then we have the ultimate connection to Hashem. And I dare say that when we say Kodesh, 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 what we're really doing is building the basis for our Bitochen. Because, say, Hashem, you grant Hashgocha Protis, which is what we need. We want your Hashgocha, we want your help. You grant Hashgocha Protis to people way beyond what they've earned, way beyond what they deserve. You're Kodesh, 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 you're infinitely separated in the Midah of giving tzedakah, of giving beyond what we deserve. And that's meloi chol ha'aretz kibayin. That's what fills the earth with your kovod. That's your hashkocha protis, which is what fills the earth. And Hashem sees us connecting to Him with that realization, and that gives Him the greatest honor. So the reality is, we have to really be able to go beyond thinking about what we deserve. Nobody wants to get what they deserve. And for most people, what we deserve is really not enough, because we're all human and we make mistakes and we have shortcomings. But we deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose thing is to give us beyond what we deserve. That's this whole creation. The whole chesed is, He created the system of earning only that we should be embarrassed, only that we should feel ownership of what we get. And I guess that even if we don't deserve it, but when we show our trust in Hashem, that we have in a certain way earned it, not in a direct way, but we become worthy of it, even if we didn't earn it technically, but we come to be worthy of it. Maybe it's like an entitlement program where we haven't earned it, but we deserve it by dint of the fact that we put our trust in Hashem. That takes away a lot of this embarrassment, and it gives us a sense of ownership because I put my trust. But we have to be very careful. When we're trusting Hashem to deliver for us, we can't look at it and say, oh, I trust Hashem, everything is fine. The Vilna Gaon points out that that is tantamount to trusting your own bitochen. We have to trust Hashem's kindness, not trusting my, oh, I'm a Baal Bitochen, therefore the world is mine. No, we have to trust the kindness, the chesed Hashem. V'ani b'chastecho botachti, David HaMelech said, I trust it in the chesed Hashem. And that's why the Goyen says that it's very important, tefillah is sachanunim. Even though tefillah is a certain type of a lotion of bitochen, he says, like a positive machshova, but you still have to keep begging. Because if I rely on the positive machshova and stop begging, then I forget. I think it's me. I think it's not me and my koyach. I think it's me and my bitochen. That's also a power. No. It's the reliance on Hashem's chesed. The focus of bitochen is reliance on Hashem's chesed, but a chesed that He's willing to bestow upon me despite the fact that I have not earned it. Despite the fact that I do not deserve it, despite the fact that I may even be an evil person, Rabbi Machoivim LaRosho, great are the pains of a wicked person, Vavitech Bashem, Chesed Yosevavenu, but one who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by Chesed, says the Medrash, Afilo Rosho, Ubeitech Bashem, Chesed Yosevavenu, even if he's a wicked person, but he puts his trust in Hashem, be surrounded by chesed. That chesed will follow him, that chesed will surround him, that chesed will be, he will receive in response to that trust that he put in Hashem. So this is something that we really have to put in great efforts to work on. Paying attention to Hashem's Hashkocha Protis is very helpful. Looking for it, searching it, paying attention to the Birchas HaShachar that we say in the morning. All of the bodily functions that we have are all b'hashkocha. We say it in Asher Yotzar, she'im yiposeach echod mehem, or yisoseim echod mehem, if one would open or one would close. One thing goes wrong in that delicate system. Eifshar lehiskayem v'lamay lefonecho. We cannot exist. And the Sfaradim er afilu sho'achas, not even for a moment. We have all the brochos, all the bodily functions, everything. We have to praise Hashem and thank Hashem for every breath of life. Kol haneshomo tahalil ko. Every neshomo should praise Hashem, and the Chazal say, ko al kol neshimo uneshimo tahalil ko. Praise Hashem for every single breath of life. Do we appreciate every breath of life? Do we realize? But it's an opportunity. Look what He does. He's constantly giving us life. We say Hashem is zoykif kifufim. He allows every person to sit up on the bed in the morning. Worthy and not worthy. Zoykif kifufim. He allows people to stand up. He straightens them up. worthy or not worthy. Meichim etzadi gover. He sets the steps for people to be able to walk. Neisem ayoyif koyach. Ma'avir sheino me'enoy. He takes away sleep from us and awakens us. He gives us koyach. Pekeach ivrim. He opens the eyes of the blind. If not for him, we'd be blind. If not for him opening our eyes. Malbish harumim. Clothing. So forth and so on. Everything. And the more we focus on all of the chesed that Hashem gives us, the more that we can appreciate it, and the more we'll have bitochen. We make brochas. We say, Boruch ato Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. Bore pri ha'aretz, let's say. Boruch ato, you Hashem, I speak in the familiar, you're the source of all brocha. Hashem, you're the master of all. Elokeinu, we have this personal relationship, you're our God, Elokim shalonu, melech ha'olam. With the king of the whole universe, and you create, you create this fruit. It's for me. You didn't create it for anyone else because I'm eating it. It's my fruit. But this is a beautiful story I heard from my mother-in-law, Zichrono Livrocha. This lady was an almana, and she was trying to sustain her family. She used to go every day to the shuk with bagels that she baked at home to try to sell the bagels. One day she stayed in the shuk the whole day. She couldn't sell a bagel. It's getting dark. She has to go home to her family. Very distraught. Hasn't sold a bagel. On the way, somebody says, what do you have there? She says, bagels, how many? I need them all. I'm making a party, whatever. He buys all the bagels. And she goes, she says, Rebbeinu Shalom, she says to Hashem, you're so busy with all of your significant and world-shattering affairs of state. Where do you find the time to look into this poor almana's basket to see what's going on? The Melech HaOlam makes sure that I have an apple to eat. The Melech HaOlam makes sure that when I'm thirsty, I have a drink. The Melech HaOlam makes sure that I have all of the sustenance that I need. The King of the Universe. If that doesn't inspire Bitochon, that's what he does. That's his thing. He's all about Chesed. And he doesn't discriminate in his chesed. There may be more chesed to those who earn it and deserve it, but even to those who don't. If they turn to him, the tzaddik is always turning to him. If they turn to him, if they rely on him, he does not let them down. And that should be a tremendous source of strength for us. We have to focus constantly on the chesed Hashem. We have to realize that when we see, you know, there are psukim we say in davening every day, which strengthen the chesed Hashem. There are so many songs out there in the world of Jewish music that speak about bitochen. And there are so many actions that we can take to assure ourselves. Someone just asked me something recently about stopping at a certain point of his efforts to do his business, because he thinks that's really beneath his dignity. And I told him, not only may he be obligated to do that, but I said, what a chinuch hamusa, what an opportunity to strengthen bitochon, because you're now, you could do something, but you're stopping. What are you saying when you're stopping? I'm saying I'm trusting Hashem, and I don't have to put myself down to such an extent because I trust Hashem. There are so many actions that we can do which help us to develop this trust. But it's a lifetime process. As we quoted, I believe, originally, the Vilna Gaon says that the Iker Nesinus HaTorah LeYisrael Hu Sheyasimu B'tchonam Hashem. The essence, the Iker of the giving of the Torah is that we should put our trust in Hashem. It's a lifetime's work. It takes effort. But there's so many opportunities. There's so much, so many miracles. There's so much Hashgacha Pratis. There's so much inspiration to be tochen that we can find in life. And if we take the time and we put in the effort and we focus on it and pay attention and search for Hashem's Hashgacha in our lives and work on ourselves to develop that midas habitochen. As we mentioned last time, and I would just like to conclude with that, it starts with a realization of there's no accidents. Everything is from Hashem. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know he orchestrates everything. And I get a little more and I say, you know, I'm not going to give up hope. Because even to the very last moment when the sword is at the back of my neck, don't give up hope. Hashem can do anything. He's all-powerful. And then sometimes it leads me even to a higher level where I'm beginning to feel that just something inside of me. It's this information of His kindness has penetrated to my heart, personally internalized, to the emotionalized, to the extent that He's not going to let me down. And there's even a higher level, which is probably beyond most of us, but it's something to keep in mind, that the true Baal Bitochon reaches such a level of such extensive, such endless, such infinite confidence in Hashem's chesed, that he really makes no difference to him anymore what happens, because he knows it's all for the good. That may be beyond us, but certainly the other levels are worthy of, it's all worthy of working, but we can achieve whatever we can achieve. Hashem should help us, that especially in these difficult times when, on the one hand, people shake a little bit more in terms of their situation, but they can be the greatest opportunity to strengthen our emunah and to strengthen our bitochon, because we turn to Hashem with the realization we have no one else to turn to. Nobody else knows anything that's going on. Nobody else can really help us. Now we rely on Hashem. And let's hope that this opportunity to strengthen our emunah and bitochon will leave with us an indelible impression that will carry us through our lives, that we'll be able to fulfill the words of David HaMelech when he says, "V'ani b'chastecho b'tachti," I trusted in your chesed, "Yogei libi b'shuasecho," my heart will constantly, I know that I will in fact rejoice in the Yeshua, in the salvation. And when it comes, "Oshir al Hashem ki gomel olai," I will recite Hashem's praises. I will praise Hashem and let Him know, and let myself know, and let the world know the extent of Hashem's chesed. Hashem should help that we should be zeicher to an end to all of our tzoras and all of our challenges and all of our suffering. We should be zeicher to strengthen the midas habitochon.
Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, Rabbi Shai Cohen, so much.
My pleasure. Kol tuv.